He's wanting it right away. All the time. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. You ready to hear about the missionary trip and
everything?
So let's just go right on into it now. Give our brother the time to do. Now remember, this coming Saturday will be the fellowship meeting. So remember your timing and you do it. So, you know, and all in time to get together. And all I can just pray that the Lord would bless and be with each one, okay? So let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Luis comes to bring the message unto us. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Remember all of these
I want to see
you. Get them on your heart and your mind and pray for them.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Lord Jesus. Amen. Are you happy to be in the house of God? Amen. I trust that you're happy, and we appreciate the Lord and thank God for bringing us another midweek. Amen. So we come here to God's filling station. Amen. All right. We come here to get filled up because we got to go until next Sunday, right? This coming Sunday. And I've said before, you don't fill up your car and just one time in the month, you know. You have to fill it up many times, you know, and some of us more than others. But you come midweek, you get filled up, and you come again Sunday, you get another refilling. Amen. So we just appreciate you all taking your time to come to the house of the Lord. Amen. Now I know it's not to come to hear me. You want to hear from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So it's good to be back in familiar territory. Amen. Lots of different territory as I was in. Good territories. Pulpits always are nice, and the people are beautiful, but there's nothing like home. Amen. Amen. Praise Amen. God. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read the word. Amen. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day once again that you've allowed us to have. We appreciate, Lord, your mercy and your grace unto us, Father. Father, for if it wasn't for your mercy and grace, where would we be, Lord? Father God, without you, we can do nothing, Lord God. And Lord, without you, we would surely fall, Father God. Lord, when we thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray for these sick ones, Lord, amongst us. Lord, it's nothing but Satan, Father God. And I just ask, Lord, that you would just be with these individuals. Touch them, Lord God. Heal them, Lord God, with the healing that you've already paid for them on the cross of Calvary, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for watching over my wife as she traveled, Lord God, and pray that you would just continue to be with her, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for just the individuals that have come out this evening, Lord God, to just hear from you, Lord. And Father God, taking of their time, Father, to hear, Father, what you have to say through your word. We love you and we commit this time into your hands. I surrender myself to you, Lord, and just let me say, Father, something to edify the people, and you be glorified, Father, for it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we ask. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. For those that you don't know, my wife is in Canada at this very moment. She just took a few days and visited her family up there. So She landed about 3 o'clock this afternoon, so she says it's cold. I think the high today was like 24, 26, something like that. Yeah, yeah. Well, this coming in a few days, the high is going to be like 16. So, all right. So let's go to the word this evening. If you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm not going to preach too long, maybe 25 minutes or so, 30 minutes, and then so we can get into report, because Bella is also going to present about 5 minutes or so, say what she experienced. So, and then we'll get into report. We'll have lots of videos and lots of images, and we'll just try to get through them as quick as we can. But I want to hit some highlights and just talk about some things that I think are important that we experienced down there. So you all just pray for us. Amen. Well, I'll try not to keep you here too long tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. As the word says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." I believe every minister should say the same thing. Amen. It's not about us. Amen. It's about Christ. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Amen. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated this afternoon, this evening. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to talk this morning, and maybe if I give it a little title, I want to title it, "I'm a Loser and You Should Be Too." I hope you got, I got your attention. Amen. Praise God. I just want to talk about how God is pleased to dwell in you and me. Amen? Amen. And it wasn't just for the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here on earth and he said, "In him I'm pleased to dwell." When the voice said, "In him I'm pleased to dwell." But if you right now with the Holy Spirit in your life, amen, God has said the same thing about you. Amen. Amen. Otherwise he wouldn't have given you the Holy Ghost.
Right, right.
Amen. He is pleased to dwell in you and I. Amen. And so Paul here is speaking about how we are earthen vessels. Amen. We are earthen vessels that God has chosen, that light that he said in the beginning that he used to create the heavens and the earth. Amen. Which that God, I explained another time, that light is life. Amen. That life God wants to place in you and me in this hour. Amen. What a wonderful God that we serve, that he wants to dwell in you and me. Amen.
Right, right.
To manifest himself to the world through you and I.
Amen, brother.
Who am I? Who are you? Amen.
Right.
You know what you kind of life you lived. I knew what kind of life I lived. Amen.
Right. Amen.
But God can take these type of vessels. Amen.
Right.
Earthen vessels, dirty vessels.
Yes, right.
Clean them up. Fill them with something good.
Amen.
Amen. To do a great thing in this hour. Amen.
Amen.
And that's you and I.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. Young people, that's you and I.
Amen.
God wants to work through you. God wants to use you to save others. You may not think so. Oh, who am I? You know, what can I say? You don't have to say anything. Just live before the people. Just live before the people, and that'll take care of it. Amen. Praise God. So Paul here is speaking about, he says here in verse 6, he says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels."
Right.
You know? And then when you look back at this word, the earthen vessels, it's kind of like clay pots at Walmart. It's not Chinese vases like those porcelain vases that you see at expensive vases, you know. God didn't choose something like that.
Right.
He chose the cheap little Walmart clay pots that you see over there in the corner that nobody's touching.
Right.
But there's somebody that needs those pots.
Yeah.
Amen. Right? Some of you that are gardeners and some of you that like to deal with plants, you need those pots for your service. Amen. And God chose these weak vessels, amen, these pots, these clay pots, amen, so that He could fill them up to get something to grow out of that,
amen?
Praise God. You're not, who am I? As I said, you're not anybody to the world. To the world, you're nothing. But to God, amen, you're everything,
amen?
Because He dwells in you, amen? You might be at work, you're working, the brother is working, maybe whistling Amazing Grace, singing to God, and his wife is at home, she's doing, cooking, maybe taking care of the children, doing what she's doing, but she's doing it wholeheartedly with full passion in it and wants to serve the Lord with it, and the world sees nothing.
Amen.
But God sees everything. Amen. Oh, you might say, oh, it's ho-hum. It's every day. Amen. But you know what? In the everyday things is how God wants us to see Him.
Right.
It's in the everyday routines
right.
where God wants to teach you to see Him.
Right.
Oh, it's good to see Him in the outstanding things that take place in our lives and extraordinary explosive things. Amen.
Right.
But God doesn't always work that way.
Right.
Sometimes He comes in as a still, small voice.
Right.
Nothing moved.
Yep.
Nothing shook. Nothing sounded. But God was there.
Right.
You may not have heard anything. You may not have seen lights. You may not have seen nothing bright. You may not have seen anything. Amen.
Right.
Or felt anything.
Right.
But God is there.
Amen.
How many of you know, believe that God is there?
Amen.
I believe God is there.
Right.
Amen. Because that desire, amen, for more of Him is there.
Yeah, right.
Now, if you don't desire more of God, then God wasn't there in the first place. But when you're filled with His Spirit, amen, and when you have God in your life, amen, you want more of Him, amen. Because the Holy Spirit in you only wants more of Him. He only can feed on the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. So what a privilege that light, that eternal life that God that God used that to create the heavens and the earth
Amen.
Dwells in you and me in
yes.
this hour.
Amen.
And the world knows nothing about it.
Right.
The world knows nothing about it. All they see on the outside is sisters with long, uncut hair and long dresses and brothers who don't wear, you know, tight jeans and you know, walk around like that and you know, don't go around with a cigarette in their mouth and you know and earrings in their nose and stuff like that. They don't see that. And they might criticize you, not knowing that God is dwelling. The God that they might say, I'm a Christian too. The God that they say they're a Christian and that they serve dwells in you and me. What a privilege. Praise God. Amen. So, you know, and God wanted it to be that way. Amen. Because He wants Him to get the glory.
Right.
Not for you to get the glory.
Right.
Amen. Because when something happens extraordinary in your life or something took place in your life, people might say, well, I know God couldn't have done that. I know that person wouldn't have done that. I knew him before he came to be a Christian. Or I knew her before she looked the way they talked, looked at the way they lived. And when God does something extraordinary through your life, then they got to realize it was God, not you. Amen. Praise God. So that's the reason why God has decided to put this light, this in earthen vessels, such as you and me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." My goodness, why is it, you always wonder, why is it that God decided it to be that way? For somebody up here to be slobbering in front of you, you know, you come like a brother Jewel Forney, you know, he'll come over here and sometimes you better watch out. Hey, I know that firsthand. I was interpreting for him one time. And he turned around like this. I was right here on his left side, and here comes the sweat. Right on my lips as I was speaking. Of course, you just go like that, you know. You had to finish what you had to say. But you know what? That's what God decided. That's how he's going to show his power. Amen. Through the foolishness of preaching. Amen. And we know that's not the only way. Amen. God can use us in many different ways. Amen. But this is how God established for his word to go forth. Amen. And that doesn't make me, doesn't make Brother Wade, Brother Dale, any of the ministers here, anything more than you. Amen. Praise God. Because I've always said, you know, a minister is one that serves. It's one that serves. I'm here. You're actually greater than us because we're serving you. Think about it that way. I'm not anything. That's why I can't stand, you know, seeing people, ministers sitting in the back and things like that. You know, if a church does it that way, that's fine. But I don't feel comfortable like that, you know. Yeah. Having a minister sitting back here and you know, and that's, I want to be with the people, right, you know. Right. That's because I'm one of you. Amen. Right. Praise God. But I mean, that's damn if they want to do that. But that's just my personal preference. Amen. Praise God. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Amen. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He certainly has. And he's doing it through you and me. Oh my. Can you imagine that? You know, you might think, who am I to stand in front of President Trump or the President of Spain or the President of... The power of God dwells right here in this little town called Lula, Georgia. Right now. Washington, D.C.? Yeah, Washington has believers there. Right? And so, but what I'm saying is that who would think that God wants to dwell in this little weakened vessels like you and me. Amen. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." There it is again. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." And the Greeks, you know, being us Gentiles as well, you know, it was foolish to us. For the natural man doesn't understand naturally the things of God. You know, because to us, I mean, you know how you were when you were not a Christian and somebody talked to you about Christ. Thought it was foolishness, you know. Christ, But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. Now, read that again. For the foolishness of God, but hold on a second. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. So in other words, if God had foolishness, if there was foolishness in him, you know, that would be more wise than the greatest wisdom here upon this earth. Amen. You know, I've said before, the people out in the world, they're looking for superstars and they're looking for superheroes. And they manifest it because that's what they show in the movie theaters. There's about every 3 months, there's always some sort of superhero movie coming out. And they're just lining them up. And then when they got done, they'll just do part two of the, they already got Spider-Man up to like part 10 now.
Yeah.
superheroes everywhere. Why? Because they want a superhero.
Oh, yeah.
They're looking for superheroes. Amen. But not knowing the superheroes are right here amongst them, walking and working amongst them, and they don't even realize it. And it's not because of them. It's because the superhero that dwells in them. Amen. Jesus Christ.
Amen. Glory.
You're the true superhero in this hour.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But Adele, when you were there working at where you were at, GM, General Motors, they might have probably seen Brother Dale, just one of the common guy, just like one of us.
Right.
Not knowing that was God walking amongst them.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And that's what the people are looking for. That's what the world wants.
Right.
Yeah. But they'll fulfill it with something else. And they'll bring in a Spider-Man, and they'll bring in a Captain America, and they'll bring in a Wolverine, and an X-Men, and all kinds of stuff. Knowing that you are a superhero in this hour, amen?
Right.
Because the superhero dwells in you.
Right.
The Superman dwells in you, amen?
Yeah.
Christ, amen. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Again, that's you and me.
Right.
And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are.
Yeah.
That no flesh should glory in his presence.
Right.
That is the purpose of all these things.
Amen.
So that no flesh will glory in his presence.
Right. Right.
So yes, you are a superhero in this hour because you have the superhero dwelling in you. But it's for his glory, amen.
Right.
And not for your glory.
Glory.
Praise
right.
God. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
I can't glory in what I've done or what I can do. Amen. Because anything that I have accomplished is because been through him. Amen. He's the one that's given me the strength. He's the one that's given me the life. He's the one that's given me, every single heartbeat that you have is because of him. Nothing that you've done. If he said right now, this is it. This is as much time I have allotted for you. Are you ready to go? Right now, at this very moment. This is, because we don't know. And if he says right now, this is as much time as you're allotted, are you ready to go? No, give me just a little bit more, Lord. I need to do this. I got to do this. I got to finish this. Amen. We should be willing to say like John, amen. Lord, come quickly. That's what the bride of Christ says. Amen. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, and this is the reason why I said, you know, I'm a loser. And we're going to be done here pretty quick. It says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Listen, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So how many wants to be a loser this afternoon? That's what I was talking about. Amen. I'm a loser because of that. I want to lose myself so that he can take the preeminence. Amen. So that if I want to save my life, I better lose it first. You better die to yourself if you want to save yourself. Amen. And I'm so glad that it's not through us that said we can't save ourselves. And you can't forgive your own sins. But he's already paid it for all, for us. Amen. He's already done the work for us. And we just thank him for that. Amen. So for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. What is saving your life? Amen. In other words, you live for yourself. In other words, it's about me. And I live for myself and it's about me. And you acknowledge God, you don't acknowledge God at all. Amen. If that's the way you live your life, then you're going to lose it.
That's right.
Sure, you might enjoy yourself. You might have fun in this life. But in the life to come, you're not going to win. Amen. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's Jesus' own words. Praise God. Amen. And you know, sometimes we wonder, Lord, how in the world can you use me? I'm imperfect. Look what I did. Look what I've done. And you know, Satan always comes around and tells us, you know, look what you did yesterday. And look what you did last week. And look what, you know, look what you said. Look what you thought. Look. See. Watch. And he'll even probably tell you what you're going to do, probably too. Watch. You did it yesterday. You're going to do it tomorrow again. Watch. And if you accept the lie of the devil, amen. That's the reason why we keep falling in the same thing over and over and over. In the same besetting sin over and over and over. And it's like a roller coaster ride. You go, you're up and down. You're up and down. You know, on New Year's Day, amen. Oh, I'm serving the Lord. Oh, this year, this is it. January 1st comes. Oh, I'm there. Oh, you know, and then January 10th comes. And you're back down at the bottom of the roller coaster again. Amen. That's not how God made it. That's not the Holy Spirit that God put in you and me. Amen. To go up and down, willingly. Because we're the ones who do that to ourselves. Jesus said, my burden is light. We're the ones who make it heavy. We're the ones who make the Christian life difficult. When Jesus himself said, my burden is light. We just, you know, Jesus lightens it up for us because as you give in to the word and as you yield yourself to him, amen, he's lightening that load in your life, right? And he'll take it, get rid of it. But then all of a sudden, we somehow pick it back up again. And just start carrying it again. Maybe to like the first 3 months of the year. And then Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. And you lay it down, okay. And then he'll get rid of it again. But you're watching to see where he threw it.
Yeah.
To go pick it back up again.
Right.
No, a Christian doesn't do, we're not roller coaster religion.
Right.
Amen. up and down. Amen. The Christian is firm, is stable. Amen. Because Christ is stable, amen. Because Christ is firm, amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if Christ is in you, you should be the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen. Praise God. Yes, we're gonna make mistakes. We're gonna fall, amen. We're gonna displease him sometimes, amen. But you want to quickly get rid of that. You want to quickly repent, amen. Praise God. It's a new year, saints, and I need this just as much as you do, amen. We all need, amen, because saints, we don't know what's going to take place this year, amen. Things are just coming down to a, amen. Praise God. So, amen. But God wants to use us weak vessels. And if you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, amen, when Paul, he said here, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, for me, in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Sometimes God just needs to, He might put something in there in your life and you wonder, "Lord, why is this not going away? Why, I love you, Lord. I'm serving you. But God, amen, knows how to keep you humble. Knows how to keep you meek. Otherwise, you know, most of us will be walking like this. Be walking like this. But God knows how to, God knows exactly what you need to keep you. Amen. Dependent on Him. Dependent on for Him to get the glory. Amen. And look what Paul says here, continues to say. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Whatever it is, you know, there's speculations that because of his eyes, you know, he couldn't see well. "And he said unto me," this is what the Lord said unto Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." Amen. "My grace is sufficient for thee." And you know, one time I was in the restroom out of all places. and that thought just came to my head. "My grace is sufficient for thee." And I realized, why is it that the Lord told Paul that? It's because that's all he needed. Amen. That's all he needed. When you have the grace of God, amen, you got love, you got everything, amen. When you got the grace of God, that's all he needed to even take care of that issue that he was, amen. And if we could just depend on his grace and be thankful for that grace, amen. Praise God. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Can you imagine that? My strength. This is God speaking to Paul. Amen. "My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Oh, that's just silly. You know, praising God when you're sick and you're vomiting and you have 103 degree fever and you're in the hospital and there's been an accident and you've been sent to a hospital and all kinds of bad things taking place in your life, but you're still there praising God. Amen. That's foolishness to the world. Amen.
Amen.
But it's beautiful to the Lord. Amen. Especially if it comes from your heart. Amen. Sometimes, like I said, we don't understand why certain things happen in our lives. And I can't explain it. And you maybe we'll never get to explain it here on this life. Maybe the Lord one day will reveal it to us. I don't know. But it brought you to the place that you are now. Amen. It brought you to the place where you are now because God wanted you to be here at this hour. This is where God wanted you to be. So that He gets the glory. Amen. Because it's He's still working on me. To make me what I want to be. And you know, you might say, "I want to be this way, Lord. I want this in my life." But God's thinking of a totally different way to bring that to you. Totally different than what you think it's going to be. And then we wonder, why is it that it's happening to me like this, Lord? But that's the way God is trying to bring you. He's trying to answer your prayer through that. Sometimes we don't understand God's ways, but those are His perfect ways. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So in finishing, amen, some of you may have heard this story before, but if you've heard it before, you hear it again. Amen. One day there was a little boy who had gotten into a car accident. And the little boy, he lost his left arm. And so the little boy, you know, he lost his left arm and got home, got, you know, got well, recuperated, but he didn't want to stay all his life, you know, just sitting around not doing anything just because he lost his left arm, you know. You know, sometimes we get so a complex in our life, you know, just because we got this in my life, well, I'm just going to end up just going this way or doing this. And you know, no, that's the time to stand up, amen, and do something. Hey, Lord, you got me in this position, amen, but what is it that you want me to do, amen? You have me here with life. What is it that you want me to fulfill, amen? Every day that you have, that God gives you of life, there's something that you must fulfill.
Amen.
Praise God. Somebody's looking at your life. Somebody's depending on you. Amen. Praise God. So this little boy, he tells his parents, he says he decides he wants to take judo classes. So the little boy, the parents said, okay, that's fine. So they found a master in town who could teach him judo. So he went to the master and he said, Master, could you teach me judo? Even though I have this handicap in my life. And he said, sure thing, son. That'll be fine. So he enrolled. He was ready. He was excited for the first day of class. And when he got to the first day of class, there was one move that the master kept teaching him. Amen. And the boy was excited. He was excited about that one move. And so he's like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to go and he's going to teach me something else. But when he would go to the class, he'd teach him the same move. And then he'd go third day and fourth day, weeks and weeks, and it'd be the same move that he was learning. And so the kid was like wondering, why in the world? So a time came where he was having fighting opponents, and he was winning. But he could not explain to himself, why is it that he was winning? He knew the move, and he was winning through that one move, but he could not explain why he was winning. And then there came a time where he had to fight in a championship, and he went through all the opponents, got to the last opponent, which was the champion of champions, and he was clogging him, and he was about to lose. But then all of a sudden, the boy does this one move, and he goes down, and he wins the whole tournament. And so the boy, he's wondering, and he's still scratching his head, and he's excited. And he asked the master after leaving the tournament, he said, Master, I'm so excited that I've won the tournament. And he says, son, I'm glad that you won the tournament too. He's like, but I need to find out why it is that I'm winning all these matches. He said, all right, I knew that the day would come that you would ask me, so I'm going to tell you. He said, the reason why you're winning all these matches is because that one move is all you need to know. And the only way that your opponent is able to defend that one move is for them to grab your left arm. And you don't have a left arm. Amen. So what? His weakness became his strength. Amen. So when you are weak, you are strong. Amen. I'm going through this in my life, but you are strong. He said that you are strong. Amen. Oh, this is happening in my life, but you are strong because the word said so. Amen. I'm sick. I did this, but you are strong because the Lord has made a way for you. Amen. So your weakness, it doesn't matter what it is. Satan will run and rub it all over your face. Your weakness. But that weak, through that weakness, God could show the world, hey, that's my superhero. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many love the Lord? Amen. Praise God. So again, who wants to be a loser in this hour?
Amen.
I want to lose. I don't care how many weaknesses I have, but because I know God, amen, can perfect himself through weaknesses. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Bella, if you want to come. She wants to give her testimony. Be a purple mic. You can tell mommy's not around.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. It's great to be in the U.S. again and see all your smiling faces. I just wanted to share a few experiences I had in our mission trip and some things that I'm thankful for now, some things that a lot of us take advantage of. Four things that I am very thankful for now are smooth roads, warm water, flushing toilets, and Wi-Fi. Because when you go to Honduras, you're not going to have Wi-Fi everywhere. Some experiences I had were feeding a monkey. A brother took us on a boat ride to a few islands in Nicaragua, and we fed a few monkeys over there. And then another experience I had was being attacked by a dog. This dog, its trainer had taught it to protect its belongings. And one thing that the owner had done that morning was he had skinned a sheep that morning, which was going to be our lunch that afternoon after the youth service. So I was gonna pass by there to go see the chickens. At the time, I didn't know that there was another way. So the dog started chasing me, and it bit my leg. But thankfully, I didn't get any cuts. It just gave me a bruise.
Amen.
Things that were hard to adjust to were the roads. Where we went, there weren't a lot of paved roads. There were paved roads, and every single time we got on one, we were just like, oh my goodness, it's a paved road. But mostly everywhere we went, it was a dirt road. And then what was also hard to adjust to were bathrooms. It wasn't exactly a toilet. It was, you had to use a bucket of water to flush, and they were heavy buckets. When we went to the youth services, there were multiple people there that had walked 3 or more hours to go to the youth services, which lasted 3 days. It just really shows me how hungry people are for God's word and what they'll do. My dad went to preach there, and I think he did a very good job, and I believe that the people were blessed. My favorite part of the trip, my main favorite part of the trip was a mountain that we drove up to called San Zapote. When we got up there, it was just very calming and quiet. Mm-hmm. You didn't hear people singing karaoke everywhere you went. It was just very quiet, and then later that afternoon, my dad was going to preach. And when we were driving, it was just, the roads were stones squished in together, so they weren't exactly even. So we were kind of bumping around all over the place in the truck. But when we got to the top where we were supposed to be, it was worth it. It was very, very much worth it.
Yeah.
There's just two miracles that I wanted to share that happened there. They may not seem big and something that people are going to scream and shout about, but it's something that's big to me. There was one instance where the brother that we were staying with had lost his keys in the mall. And my mom was just praying, Lord, we need these keys. We can't get out of here without these keys. And 5 minutes after, my dad said that he had found the keys. And then there was another instance where the brother that you helped get tires for, new tires for his truck, Brother Eric, there were many instances where his car would break down on the side of the road when we would have to go to a church or back to his house. And whenever that would happen, the brothers would try to fix it. And whenever that would happen, me and my mom and a sister and my sister would sing, When Nothing But a Miracle Will Do. And by the time that song ended, the car restarted again. Where it was as if it had gotten a new battery. And I believe that it just shows me that God's never going to forget you, even if you're just on the side of the road where no one's going to help you. So Zoe just wants to share a little story that she had, and then we'll pass it on to my dad.
I'm frozen.
No.
About the monkeys.
Okay. All right.
She just wanted to share about monkeys. Okay. Never mind.
All right. Thank you, Bella. Thank you, Zoe. Praise the Lord. Amen. This was the first trip that Zoe took outside of North America. She's been to Canada, but you know, going to Canada is like being here in the States. But Bella, she's been to the Philippines and she's been to my country, so she's seen things like that. She's seen how third world countries look and the way they live. But she hadn't been in a while, and so I wanted to take her, and so it was some things were very eye-opening to her, and definitely for Zoe. But you might ask, why do you want to take your children? You know what? One of the best things I could probably give them is an experience like that. You know, sometimes we get so acclimated to this life here, and it's us four and no more. But when you see outside of the shell, and you see what other people are going through, like walking 3 hours to church, you look at things back home a bit differently. And I think it's good for young people to see those and to experience that, have those experiences, you know, because, it will help them later on, I believe, in their Christian walk, you know. Help them maybe kind of keep them humble, kind of keep them meek, and I wanted them to experience that. So hopefully the Lord give them more opportunities. Amen. That way. Amen. So, I guess the brothers, if they can start with the first. Amen. So, this time around, what we did is we drove all the way to Miami from Atlanta from our home, about a 10-hour drive. So we flew out from the airport and down to Nicaragua. And, of course, this is Central America. Mexico's right here. Nicaragua's all the way down here, just right above Costa Rica. So next. And this is where, this is Nicaragua. This is Managua, which is the capital. This is Honduras. So this is pretty much everywhere where we traveled, the whole in miles, I'm not sure exactly in miles, but it's a lot of miles that we traveled. But we mainly tried to concentrate on the southern part of Honduras. Now the brother Donaldo that's preached for us here from Honduras, he's preached for us twice, he's from right there. La Ceiba, that's where he's from. Couldn't make it all the way up there, but next time, Lord willing, we might, we'd like to take a go through the northern part of Honduras.
Amen.
Amen. Next. So this is in Miami. Next. And right in Miami. We hadn't even left the country yet, and it was already
food.
this was at a Ruby Tuesday's parking lot. They're just walking all over the place. Iguanas everywhere, and I think Brother Joe mentioned to me that there are a lot of them down there in Florida. So that was just what was to come ahead. Next. So there's a picture of the flight. Next. And we were about to land in Nicaragua. Next. So when we got there, the brother that picked us up from the airport took us to this place to just eat these little, I forgot what they call them. But basically, it's everything in a bag, and you just kind of suck it, and there's cheese in it and all kinds of stuff. He's like, hopefully this will keep you until we get to our destination, which is about 2 hours away. So that's what we were eating. Next. And Zoe was drinking, they call it cacao, but it's like hot, cold chocolate, because it's very hot down there in Managua, Nicaragua. 95 degree weather, it's just usual every day. Drinking out of a bag, and Zoe asked, she wondered, do they not have cups in Nicaragua when she drank that? But that's what they give it to. They'll just give you the drink in a bag and put a straw in it. And I guess it saves them more money that way. Next. So the next day when we got to Chinandega, which is the city there in Nicaragua, the next day we ministered at this brother's church. Brother Nilsson Romero. And next.
Me fascinaba la música rap y todas esas cosas. Y yo
I was talking
era
about rap.
Un muerto viviente. No me digan que ustedes cuando están en el mundo no les gustaba el mundo.
Yeah.
No todos ustedes.
I was just kind of giving my testimony, sharing it a little bit.
Y a los.
Next. All right. So after the service, we had prayer. Prayer request. I'm in a prayer line, and several of the sisters came up for prayer. We took the prayer cloths, and we were able to take all the prayer cloths and spread them out through all the different places that we went to. So we only gave certain amount to each one, and we told them, "Hey, look, you can still even cut these pieces." And so they did that. So this is the pastor right here. And He's 28 years old, young man, but he's laboring. Next, so I put this picture in here of Zoe because everywhere Zoe went and saw a broom, she would pick it up and just start sweeping. This is the first encounter with a broom, so that's after the service. Next, now if you remember last year when we went, the sister that Christine went and gave her a prayer cloth for her to get pregnant. You know, that's her right there. She's due in March. And so, like I said, you know, I wasn't there, you know, just my wife felt led to give her a prayer cloth and said, "We'll be continuing to pray for you." And, you know, just those things like that, you know. It's nice that, you know, when the wife goes and she can minister to the sisters where I can't, you know. So she was able to do that.
Amen. And
we appreciate the Lord for giving him. Bella, is it going to be a boy or a girl? I can't remember. Huh? Okay, next. All right, so that afternoon, I ministered at Brother Manuel's church. This is his wife. And next. Stop. Next. This is the front part of the church. We had a really good service that probably one of the best things that I had. Telling them that the devil is a devil 24/7. He don't stop being a devil. He does his job better than we do ours. He comes here to church before you come to church. You're here. He's here sitting right here waiting for you to come to give, make her sleepy, make him think about he needs to work on a car tomorrow. She needs to cook beans tomorrow. She needs to do this. She needs to do that. All right. Afterwards, we had another prayer line, and we prayed with the people, and amen. The brothers giving out prayer cloths right there.
Amen.
So, they all, by the way, send you greetings, Brother Dale, amen. Brother Wade, to everybody, and they appreciate the prayer cloths. and we appreciate your prayers. Next. Afterwards, they were getting ready to leave to a camp, some special meetings from about an hour away. This is them leaving in a truck. Not the whole church, but some of them. And that's how they were traveling. That's very common to see, you know. Next. All right, the following day, before we took a long journey, we went with the brothers wanted to take us to a McDonald's. When I go to those places, I don't want American food, but of course, you know, they will. So, but what was interesting is that their American, you know, their breakfast is really their own food. It's their plates, and the McMuffins and those things are down here at the bottom, but this is what's prominent. So, next. And this is what you get, you know, rice with beans and plantains, eggs and a tortilla. That's a breakfast at McDonald's over there. Next. Of course, I was ready to dig in. I was like, well, I guess it's not so bad since they have a little bit of their kind of food there. Next. So Zoe, as we were traveling to Honduras and we crossed over the border, we were there at the border where they do all the, they do checks and things like that. And she picked up another broom and started sweeping. Next. All right. So we took several supplies, for Sunday school, for brother, Eric there in Honduras. And also because he uses them, he's a teacher as well. And, at his school. And so we bought these supplies and, there's lots of crayons and all kinds of tape and things like that. So that's some of the things that we bought for them. Amen. Next, that you helped pay for. Amen. Now this is Brother Eric, the brother that we've helped in his church. This is Brother Carlos. He's a minister. Brother Giovanni, he's one of the brothers there. Him and him are brothers. Brother Eli, he's a minister as well. And I don't know who that fellow is. But, Next. All right, so this is a typical just riding around in the back of a truck everywhere. And my goodness, it's hot. This is the city of Choluteca. And it's very hot there. Next.
The video? Okay.
You turn it
this
up.
This right here is pozol. And it's water extracted from the corn, made with cinnamon and milk. So here we go. Ah, okay. It's very good. It's got a little sweet, very but it's really good.
And let me tell you anything cold in that weather, you know, it is good. and that was good. It was really good. Next. And there's Zoe. She's drinking it as well. And if Zoe was drinking it, then it's real good. It's hard to get her to eat anything out, you know, and drink. But she, we tell her at least try it. And when you try it, then she just kept drinking. So, and they give it to you in these bowl and these shells. No, that's actually it's a fruit of some sort or something that they have. It's and they just keep the shells, and they use them. That's how they sell them to the customers. Yeah, they just wash them and use it. Mm-hmm. Next, and of course they made me little girls made me put on fairy, and so. So this is we're heading there to a pastors and ministers meeting that was taking place for several days, and just for you to see how the terrain is. This is pretty much almost everywhere where you go. This is how it is. Cows everywhere, and in the middle, just walking dogs and things. Yeah, that's good. All right, so when we got there, this is some of the ministers that were there, the pastors at this week-long pastors-ministers meetings that they were going to have. In the morning, it was ministers' meetings for three or four days. They were going to have about four sessions. In the evening times, I'm sorry, there was two services for the ministers' meetings every day. And then in the evening times, it was an evangelistic service under a tent. And I was there. That was the first day I was supposed to speak that night at that evangelistic meeting under the tent. So next. Next. And then Christine, they asked her to sing a special. And turn it up, Brother Anderson. Tell she's singing in Spanish. So she asked me, she said, what song should I sing? And I said, well, sing this one. And she learned it, and she sang it in Spanish. So next.
A mí me fascinaba estar en el mundo cuando estaba en el mundo.
This is
me fascinaba andar con los pantalones colgando hasta aquí abajo.
I used to like walking around with my sagging pants, trying to get girls.
Así yo andaba como rapero.
I walk
y a
around.
Mí me gustaba.
And I used
Pero
to love it.
La palabra de Dios
but
viene,
I said, when the word of God comes,
usted, and it changes you, rapero,
you don't,
usted
it tells you you're not a rapper,
usted no es
you're not a liar,
ramera,
usted
you're
no not
un mentiroso,
a cheater,
usted no es esto y lo otro, usted no es un
you're
tramposo,
not this,
usted
you are the bride
la novia
of Jesus Christ.
Que yo he venido a escoger, que yo he venido a salvar. Usted oye esa águila y decir, claro, Señor, yo no soy de eso.
Yeah,
yo no soy de eso. Llévame, yeah. Señor. Amén.
Well, Brother Eric could. He speaks a little bit, and his wife does too. This is where I did an example of take the book from Revelation 10. Bella went and grabbed it.
Amen.
And she took advantage because I was at the edge of the pulpit. I had already gotten some of the, at the edge of the platform, I meant. I had already told them, some of the brothers, that, of course, they didn't take it, you know, so. But she knew the deal, so. Next. Afterwards, we had people that came up and they wanted to consecrate their lives. We prayed for the people. It's just for one soul, you know, it's worth it. Alright, this is the following morning at the ministers' meeting. This is this is pastors and ministers throughout just the southern part of the Honduras. I don't know, it was at least maybe, I don't know, 100, 200 people, maybe, 150, I don't know. But, and you know what I like is that they all have fellowship with one another. And that's one thing, that they do try to respect each other, and they may not agree in everything, but they at least try to respect each other, and they try to fellowship each other with each other and everything. And that's wonderful to see.
Amen.
Next. Some of these also were not just from Honduras, but they were from El Salvador and also from Nicaragua as well. Next. And there's Christine that night. She was helping cook in the little stove there that they had. Next.
There's
Bella in a little car ride. The little girl that was with us. Her name is Ivana.
Zoe.
Yeah. There's Zoe. Zoe's zoned. That's the thing with Zoe. When she's zoned in, just don't bother her. You know, she's zoned in. Just leave her alone. Next. All right. So the following day, we had to go. The sisters were constantly all day long just making meals because the sessions for the brothers, ministers, the minister brothers was all day long pretty much, and then at night. So here's Christine helping them cook. Next. They were cooking shrimp. Next. This is a chicken feet soup. And it was very good. Next. Water, they constantly just use water in little bags. So it's filtered water, purified water, but they just, cheapest thing instead of just having bottles, you know. Next. Brother Dale, I want to show you this brother. This brother, he's about your same age, the brother right here. And he was one of the first ones. He came in the message around 67, 68 as well. Amen. And he was one of the first ones to receive. His mom was the first one to receive, one of the first ones to receive the message in Honduras. And this, he's related to him as well. So, he got eagle belt. He sure does. Yeah, it's an eagle belt buckle. Yeah. He's one of the veterans. Amen. Next. And the brother that's related to him, he had broken his arm, messed up his arm, and it was still in the process of healing. Something similar to what you did, Brother Aaron. And so we were there just praying for the brother. Amen. Next. This is Brother Aldo. And he's another one of the veterans in the message, an old timer. He invited me to speak in his church. And the brothers told me, he's like, I can't believe he invited you to speak at his church. He didn't even invite him. We're Hondurans. He don't invite hardly nobody. And you know, I thank God that, you know, you found grace in the eyes of these people, you know. And look, I didn't get to visit his church, didn't get to visit his people, but Lord willing, maybe next time. Next. All right, this is one of the areas heading to that place where the meetings were going to be held at. Next. Some more food cooking there. Next. There's the more chicken feet. Next. All right, I wanted to talk about this. Right next to the church there where they were holding the ministers' meetings and all, there's this little house right there next to it. Very common to see. This is a house. And the lady that lives here has four children. Her husband was he was one of the ones who went on this caravan that the walking up to try to get to the United States. And he came back with a broken arm. But you can see why people do the things they do. I mean, I'm not here about political things, you know. Things are hard down there. So my wife, I wasn't there, but my wife felt led to give her some money. And some of the money that was donated, amen, to us, we were able to give her some money because amen. The only thing, she has no income coming in, she just sells tortillas out in the streets. Her husband can't work, at the moment, but and has four children to raise. So next, this is another part of their home. Next, this is her right there with her, and so she's allowing. This is her oldest daughter. She lets them come to the church and visit the church. She hasn't come yet, but I believe the Lord is doing a work in her. So. But I was thankful that Christine was there and that she was able to, you know, to minister to her in that way. Amen. Maybe it might have done something to her that maybe she started going to church now. I don't know. But next. All right, this is the next night of the meetings. There was buses just lined up from different parts of Honduras coming to the tent meeting. Next. next. And this is the second or third night. It was probably about close to 1,000 people there that night. Next. And this is afterwards, after that long day of doing all that there in the meetings, this is what happens. We were supposed to be eating there at a little eatery, but Zoe she was ready to sleep. Next. All right, so we visited another brother in the area where my Bella was talking about, Son Zapote. He's pretty much up in the mountains. But it's very beautiful up there, and we had service with them. Next. on the way there, we stopped and we saw these critters. And they gave us, I told the brother, I said, why don't you go ahead and get them? He said, I just stopped so that the girls could see them. I didn't think you were going to want to get them. I said, yeah, buy them. So the little boy, you know, probably like 14 years old, he said, I'll sell them to you. I'll even skin them for you and everything. I'll prepare them here for you. So it's kind of like the Honduras drive-thru, you know?
Yeah.
You know? You get right there and they cut the heads, everything. We got another video of that. I didn't put it on here, but they prepared it right there for you. But this is next. Next. Oh, I thought there was a picture, an image there. I thought I'd put it there, but it was a look that Bella and Zoe had while the boy was skinning. I mean, he was skinning the with his teeth and everything, taking the skin off the iguanas. And but we were gonna eat them. That night when we got to the place that afternoon, this is the church where we visited, Grace Tabernacle. Next, Brother Carlos Quiroz is the pastor there. Next, this is from inside the church. Next.
Por fuera y yo, hermanos, ustedes no somos
nada. This is me here ministering to them.
Nos desprecia, pero lo hicieron así con Cristo. Amén.
Said,
pero adentro de nosotros está la misma presencia.
I was preaching pretty much the same thing that I was ministering to you all this afternoon or this evening. And then we had a wonderful people coming up for prayer. We give prayer cloths as well. Amen. Next. That's Brother Carlos right here, the pastor. And I found out, he told me that his son that lives in Jacksonville, Florida, and I got in touch with him while I was there in Honduras, and that's the reason why I stopped by into Jacksonville, and it was to visit his son, and then I ended up preaching there too on the way here. So next, this is a view from the area where we were at the brother's house. They may not have a lot, but you can't beat stuff like this. You know, and they pretty much, what's interesting, they pretty much live off the grid. They don't pay for electricity. They don't pay for nothing. They grow their own food, everything. And they're happy. You know? Next. And Zoe on a horse. Next. And this is one of the little roads that they built for them to go through the little town there on top of in the mountain area there. Next. This is Zoe washing. This is how they wash their clothes. I don't know if you some sisters know, have ever done this before. Turn it up, brother.
Yeah, I include every single thing to make it dry.
Okay, next. They had a little parrot, and so Bella was enjoying the little parrot they had. Next. And the brother was cooking, cutting fresh coconut from a tree in their backyard.
Yeah, allá se pone famoso,
palm trees everywhere.
Allá se pone famoso,
fresh coconut, soft coconut, and of course drinking the water.
Man, Dios la bendiga.
The brother is like 72 years old. He don't look like next. All right, this is some other brethren there from the area. This is the pastor. And there's Brother Eric on the far right. Next. Another group picture. Next. All right. Then after we visited there, then we visited another church. This is Tabernáculo Palabra de Dios, Word of God Tabernacle. The pastor here, he's sick. But he's still their pastor. He's bedridden. The church has decided not to vote anybody in until, you know, they've kept that, you know, I guess that sovereignty there still. But he's not able to preach or anything right now. And so he's in pretty bad shape. His name is Ernesto. You remember him in prayer. Diabetes and other things. Next. We had a good time. This is the pastor's son. And he's kind of pretty much in charge right now. Next. Believe it or not, there was a sister from Colombia there in that church. who married a Honduran, and she was living in Honduras. She was like, she came up to me after the service. She's like, "It's so glad to see one of my own here in Honduras." This is the pastor's wife, and so next.
This is Brother Ivan. So Ivan is one of the laborers.
Okay,
here,
that's not
working in the printing.
I don't know. That was supposed to be a video. I don't know what happened there.
All right,
so just pause for just a moment. All right, there at this church, there's a brothers that are holding a printing ministry there. They started it back in 2007. What they do is they print the messages from Message Hub and tracks and things like that. And they have been very instrumental in sending in messages all throughout Central America from this little place right here. They only have two machines, but one of them is the only one that works right now, and it's this one. And these two brothers are the ones that are handling this work. And so, this would be if there's anything you know they would like to support. This would be something great to support. You know, I asked him. I said, "How much does it cost for print and for ink and paper?" And he said, "About $150 a month." So, and they can, you know, have a good supply to print messages and books. I mean, they print out hardbound books and everything like that. And so, wonderful work that they're doing. Next. These two little kids right here, their dad helped in that ministry, but their dad passed away a couple of years ago. And they're still helping. This is his children, still helping in that work. So they help duplicate the books and help put them together and everything. So you pray for that ministry. Next. This is from there we traveled all the way to Tegucigalpa, which is the capital of Honduras, about a 3-hour drive. I was supposed to minister that night, so I'm there kind of preparing some notes. Next. This is me doing one of my props again.
Yeah.
Next. I ministered at this church last year. Alright, so this right here, the pastor's name there is Brother Lucas, where we ministered at, and the wonderful brother. This is Brother Eric's church, the brother that we helped with the ceiling and the roof and everything. This is the way the church is now. It's pretty much ready because we were going to have the church dedication. So that's the day of the dedication. Next. On the way there, of course, Brother Eric's truck had problems with the radiator. So the brothers are there working on it. That's Brother Eric's dad. Next. All right. This is the other side of the church. And this is the little pastor's study right here. Next. This is the front entrance of the church. Next. These are their bathrooms right outside. Next. This is the top of the church. And there's the ceiling, the roof. Next. This is pretty much what all their bathrooms are. If you get a good bathroom, this is what you get. Yeah, a little bowl and a bucket. That's it. Next. Another view of the church. They got the little gates now, the thing, metal on the windows. Next. Next, Brother Eric's dad made that pulpit himself. Next. 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 My goodness, we're running out of time. This is the study. There was no floor there right now. But before we left, we were able to give him some money, and now they got a floor there, cement floor and things like that. We'll get some pictures from them. Next. This is the day of the dedication. A lot of people came. Now, see, a lot of the people that came were people, not even believers, that lived around the community to the church dedication. So they're having an effect on the people. When the brothers were building this church, the people thought the people were you know, they were other churches around the area and stuff were criticizing them, and people were criticizing them. And so when the church started getting built, it was no work, nothing happening for a while. But then all of a sudden the church started getting, you know, when we helped put the roof up and all that, it started getting built faster. And so the people around there in the community thought that they were witches because of them. Why is this work speeding up so much? But some people, even from other churches, you see the ladies wearing the veils, they're coming in. So you pray for that little brother, for that brother Eric and that church there. Next. Next. All right, this is Brother Eric. That's his wife, a little boy. And this is Brother Lucas, which was, this was actually his pastor. Amen. The one he grew up with. Next. Brother Manuel from Nicaragua was the one who ministered at the service. Next. There's Brother Eric. Next. I ministered as well. Next. And then we had prayer, started dedicating. We all, the ministers in the church, we dedicated the pulpit for the Lord. Next. And then some of the people from the congregation came up, from his congregation, and we prayed for them as well. Next. There's we're there in the middle of prayer. Next. These two, Brother Pedro and Sister Maria, they're pillars in the church. They've been very, very... a lot of help to Brother Eric. So you remember them in prayer. Next. This is when we're traveling to another part of Honduras, 4 hours north and up to the mountains, another mountainous region. And this is us. Brother, you know, he's got some weight on him. And you can see I'm in the middle with bags too. Next. We had to stop often because I just couldn't stand it. Next. On the way there, I was able to speak on a radio station there. Amen. Preach. This brother, Eli, and his dad is the one who has a program, a one-hour program at the radio station. And he asked me to come and minister at the radio. And so I did. Next. All right. So you can see this is the first night of the youth camp there at the mountains. This is the pastor there at the church. And this is the attire, wearing boots and because it's so muddy up there. Next. Plus, we just got out of the truck from traveling. I wasn't ministering that night. This is when I had just gotten, I was sick with a cold. So I couldn't minister, and I had asked another brother to minister for me. And he did. Next. That's Brother Alan. He was the one to minister that night, the heavyset brother that was with us from Nicaragua. And as he was ministering, next, the power goes out. So there's no problem. People just take their flow flashlights and whatever, if they had phones, and we just kept having church. Next. The next day I preached, and as you can see the mirror right here. So you kind of know what I ministered to them about that morning. Next. And this is me preaching to them. Next. This is some of the youth that went to the meetings there that week, that youth camp. This was their first youth camp that they had in that region, and so for it to be the first one, you know, it was a good amount of people, and some of these people traveled about 3 hours by foot to get to this place. The church is in the middle of the woods. You can see next. I wanted you to listen to the skills. All right, we had question and answer sessions as well with the young people. The first session that we had with them, we asked them questions. And one of the questions that we asked them is, what is the Holy Ghost? And then the other one is, what is the new birth? What does it mean to be born again? Obviously, they're both tied with each other. But it's very interesting to get, you know, to get the responses from some of the young people there. You know, they're knowledgeable in the Word, and I was pretty impressed. But I was able to give, each one of us as the ministers gave our, you know, our little 2 cents, I guess, on what it was to us next. And then the next day also we had, they asked us questions. So we had question and answers and they asked us questions and they wasn't questions, you know, silly questions, you know, can I get on Facebook or anything like that? You know, it was like legit questions, you know, like biblical questions. Next. These are some of the beds that the brothers would sleep on. They just kind of spread them out. And that's where they would sleep on. Next. I don't know what happened there. It's supposed to be a video. This is a little house where we've stayed at. And this is the driveway. Brother's truck almost got stuck there several times. Next. This is pretty much almost anywhere you go around the area. But it's so beautiful. Next. And Bella got to hold a little lamb. The brother has a little farm there. Next. And this is me getting ready to come out and minister, preach. I had my shoes, my preaching shoes in this bag. I wouldn't preach in those, you know. Those were just to come walk around, but then I'd change right before I'd come to the pulpit. Next. Next. All right, this is what us pushing the brother Eric's truck, because the battery ran out. The juice on this battery the juice on that battery had run out like 8 months ago. And he said, this is his testimony. He said, Lord, I don't have any money. You're going to have to do something. And that battery just came back. I mean, the battery just worked for another 8 months until we got there. And so when we got there, we bought him a brand new battery. And but that's what we had to do in the meantime while we were up in the mountains where there was not many resources until we got back to the city where we were able to buy him the battery. Next. Pancho. We were at this sister after one of the services we had with them there. Sister came up. She has 4 or 5 children and started ministering to her, just talking to her. We gave her some money, and she said, you know what? Afterwards, she said, you know what? The Lord had told me that this was going to happen. Amen. So, that's why she was crying. Amen. So, next. Another day, I went to the radio station again and preached for another 30 minutes, and I really enjoyed it. Ministering on the radio. I don't know how many listeners were listening, but next. Brother Margarito and his son Eli, those are the brothers that handle the church there. Next. So the radiator messed up again as we were traveling back to the city. So the brothers, they take soap to fill in the parts on the radiator. And, you know, just temporary fix. Next. But eventually, we got it fixed. Miraculously, it was fixed. Next. This is at Brother Eric's church. I ministered there in this again. Next. This is on the 31st of December. This is where we bought the brother's battery. And, that's the new battery in there. Next. And I was wearing an apron. I wonder why. Next. And so, because on the 31st, that's our anniversary, Christine and my anniversary, the brothers, they had something planned for us. We didn't even know.
Amen.
So they had a little food and cake and stuff for us. And it was like about 11:30 at night. Next. There's Zoe sweeping again. Next. All right, and then after leaving Honduras, we traveled back to Nicaragua, and we ministered at another brother's church there. Next, this is his study, little brother's study outside, next to the bathrooms. Next.
por medio de obediencia a la palabra.
And then the day before we left, we I ministered at another place. It was kind of, you had to walk several steps to get to their church. Next. And this is the little place where we ministered at. Next. Next. And then we had, we prayed for prayer cloths. And we pray for handkerchiefs as well that people wanted to be prayed for as well. Next. And this is Zoe. She's talking to one of the little girls there. Next. I don't know if you all remember the church right before I left. This is, we're almost done. But right before I left, I mentioned the church that I was trying to help raise money for them. This is the church that it's in Nicaragua. Brother Manuel is the pastor, and so they've got it already almost finished. Next. This is the inside. They've got a good sized congregation, so they're building it. It's pretty nice inside. Next. All right, and so after leaving Honduras, Nicaragua on January the 4th, January the 6th, I believe it was, which was a Sunday, I stopped in Jacksonville, Florida. This is Brother Carlos, the brother in Honduras. This is his son. And that's met with him, and then he's like, hey, I would like for us to speak at our church. So he talked to his pastor. And I spoke at their church that Sunday. Next. Their church there. A little bit more modern. Next. Next. Okay, so throughout the whole trip, saints, I ministered probably about 18 different services. And that's not that's counting the times that I spoke on the radio what I told the brothers, I didn't get to baptize anybody. We didn't have any baptisms or anything like that. We got to see some lives affected by the word. But what I told the brethren, I said, listen, all I do is just like Paul said, we go and just preach the word. The pastors water, the ministers their water, but the God is the one who gives the increase. Amen. So we appreciate all of your prayers, and we appreciate everything that you all did for us. The offerings and everybody is so appreciative of it. And without you all and your prayers, I knew we wouldn't be able to make it through. And thank you so much, and Lord bless you all. And that's it right there. Amen. So, Lord Dylan, if you want to come up, I don't know. Go ahead? Okay. All right. So let's stand to our feet. sure. Let's have the musicians come up. Obviously, there's invitations to go other places there around the country, but you can only do so much, you know? So, we'll see when the Lord allows us to visit them again. Amen. But there's so much work to do. One of the things I wanted to mention is that, it's easy to go, and even though there's, you go through some rough terrain, you experience some very difficult things, but you're preaching to already established churches for the most part. But there's brothers there. And Lord willing, I'd like to join up with them. But there's brothers there that go to places where the gospel hasn't even reached to them yet. And so you pray for these brothers. Lord willing, next time I go, that's where we're going to be going. And they travel far. And they're like, it's easy for people from America to come and preach, at established churches. But we want the gospel to be preached to people who hadn't even heard about Jesus Christ. And so, Lord willing, that's what we want to do. And I'd love to be able to support these brothers that go out, you know, to these different remote, I mean, mountainous areas where there's still Indian tribes that live there. And so you pray for those people because there's still places that still have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ that still need the Lord. Amen. So let's just bow our heads and then we'll have Brother Boy sing something for us. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to minister your word. And Lord, the different things that you allow us to do, Father God, as your words mentioned, says, Lord, it's not for our glory, but for your glory, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're all laborers together, Father God. Lord, many of us may not be able to go to these places, but Lord Jesus, they labored, Father God, and gave some of their time and their money and their prayers, Lord God, so that some of us can be able to go, Father God, to minister to these people. And Lord, we just ask, Father God, that you would bless each one here, Lord, and Brother Dale, Lord God, as he, Father God, has a desire for this word to go out, Lord Jesus, as well, Father. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just help us to take these little nuggets, Lord God, and ponder these things, Lord God, and help us to draw closer to you, Lord. We love you and we commit ourselves into your hands. Bless the people as they'll be leaving, Father God. Protect them on the roads. Keep them safe, Father. We just commit ourselves into you now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We're going to sing Jesus Coming Soon, 288.
Amen. We'll just sing this one verse and then you're dismissed.
Filling men's hearts with fear, freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humble your heart to God, saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, heaven's away. Morning or night or noon, many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the sky, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Love of so many cold, losing their homes of gold. This in God's word is told, evils abound. When these times